There's no such thing as a climate disaster, so don't blame my people.
Underfoot below, a fungal web decomposing. Good night, carbon. Sleep tight.
So I asked, why does it get to 80 degrees now in a Minnesota March?
When slow rising water fills the graves of ancestors, what happens to home?
The sea levels rise, the ice caps recede for good. I'll miss polar bears.
Choose, build or burn with your 33 tons of carbon, 5 years at present rate.
Is this an ending or a time for dreams deferred? A greening earth love.
Snow is for dancing. Love expands like frigid breath. Winter is waning.
Flowers in wrong season, 13 rivers turn to sea, land of tigers drowned.
A haiku from Challenging the U.S. War on the Atmosphere, How We Fight Back. A teach-in on April 28, 2017, that was a prelude to the People's Climate March.
Just to underscore the point that the struggle for just climate with equity is not just about energy policy. We have lots of economic sectors today that contribute to greenhouse gas emissions. One of them happens to be our food system. And what's more, our food system is not just contributing greenhouse gases, but it's inequitable. It does not make healthy food available to people who need it, people of color, low-income people, and it also does not serve the needs of farmers. Instead, it enriches big corporations, okay? And so we have an urban community farmer here, Denzel Mitchell. Denzel Mitchell is a food justice advocate and educator and farm manager at Five Seeds Farm and Apiary, so he's a beekeeper too, in Baltimore, Maryland. He lives in Baltimore with his wife and their five children. And thank you for coming all the way from Baltimore for this event.
Good evening. Thank you to my good friend, Netfo, who reconnected after many, many years of not seeing each other since we moved out of D.C. to invite me here with the esteemed guest. I'm going to start with a George Washington Carver quote. Everyone familiar with who George Washington Carver is? The inventor of peanut butter, right? Right. No, actually, he is the father of modern sustainable agriculture. And he, through his research as an agronomist and an educator, you know, he single-handedly saved our agricultural economy here in the United States by instituting now a very common practice, which is crop rotation, not growing the same crop year after year after year in the same location that was taking all the nutrients from the soil. George Washington Carver said a lot of amazing things, a dedicated educator, very wise philosopher, but one of his most interesting and important quotes is that to learn how to do common things uncommonly well, anything that fills the dinner pail is of great value. And when I learned of that quote, that caused me to redirect my own personal life and recognizing that my relationship and your relationship with your food is an act of resistance. What you do with your fork, what you do with your spoon, is a political statement. It's a cultural statement. It's a spiritual statement, right? You're making a very profound statement to your children and all the children around you about what is actually important. And a lot of times, you know, climate change is not important to us until it's at our front door in the form of a tornado or a hurricane or a flood or a drought or snow in April, right? You know, but to people who grow food for a living, this is very important, and we feel it and we see it almost immediately. You know, in April when we need to plant tomatoes and we can't because it's 30 degrees outside. And so we have to remember that we all live in some level of food insecurity. You know, politically we look at food insecurity as something that affects folks that live in lower income communities. But have you ever thought about what you would do when the doors of Trader Joe's were locked? Or when Whole Foods shelves are bare? Or when Giant doesn't have any food for you? How many of you can grow your own food? And so when my wife and I started to have children, I wanted to give them what my two aunties gave to me, and that was the gift of learning how to grow your own food. Not to say necessarily that you're going to be a farmer, but this is a skill that we all need, a common skill, right? So when the current food system fails, are you able to feed yourself? Are you able to feed your family? You know, and we take this for granted. You know, we live in these big, convenient cities with lots of roads. You know, we put the stickers on our vehicles, know your farmer, know your food. We carry the nice canvas tote bags. I love organic food. But do you actually know your farmer? Is there somebody that you have a relationship with who you depend upon to feed you, and likewise, they depend upon you in the form of dollars, right? Oftentimes we forget that small farmers, city farmers, rural farmers, you know, they're trying to make a living. And we need to create a relationship with those people. So I encourage each of you to find a farmer. By show of hands, who has a farmer? Who's a member of a CSA, right? Who goes to the farmer's market every week? And they spend a substantial portion of their food budget with a farmer, somebody that they can touch and feel, and they see their children walking around, and they know what is happening with their food, how they're growing their food. That's very important because, you know, farming is sexy now. It's romantic. Everybody wants to move out to the countryside, or they want to find a little plot of land in the city, here in D.C., where farming is illegal, right, and grow food. But then you start growing food, and nobody really wants your food because it's so much more convenient to go to Safeway and get pineapples and lemons and apricots and watermelons in December and not knowing what the seasonal cycle is. So I encourage you to find a farmer. Love your farmer, and love equates in what you do with your money, right? It's not about giving them a hug. It's about going to their farm and getting dirt on your knees, getting dirt under your fingernails, right? And making them understand that what they're doing is important so that the major corporations will start to listen because you're ignoring them, right? I don't need your $3 a pound ground beef. If I can't afford $6 a pound for ground beef, then tonight's not the night for ground beef. We're going to have carrots instead. The impact of urban agriculture is incredibly important. Do what you can where you are. Teach the children. Teach the children what are the names of these plants. Teach the children that peas don't grow in trees and strawberries don't grow underground. And you can do that on your back porch. Here in D.C., there's tons of urban farms, tons of little pocket parks, tons of little community gardens that people don't know exist. They need support. They need people. They need time. And teach the children. You know, we're old. You know, we're all screwed up. But the children are innocent. So we have to teach them. And again, vote with your money and your utensils. Eat more vegetables, less meat. And create an interdependent relationship between you and the people that grow food. Thanks.
about sunrise? What about rain? What about all the things that you said we were to gain? What about killing feels? Is there a time? What about all the things that you said was yours and mine? Did you ever stop to notice all the blood we've shed before? Did you ever stop to notice this crying earth, this weeping shore?
I used to
the words of Denzel Mitchell of Five Seeds Farm and Apiary in Baltimore, Maryland. For more information, go to fiveseedsfarm.com. The song is Earth Song by Michael Jackson. For Voices with Vision, I'm Netfer Freeman.